Welcome to The Zip, episode number 4. This is a podcast to talk about the Vermont legislature from the perspective of two newbies. We're on your podcasting platform of choice. We're on Brattleboro Community Television. We're on YouTube. We have an email address. We'd love to hear from you, thezonianpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Johnny Gifford. I'm the producer of the show, and I'd like to introduce our two legislators, no longer freshmen, soon to be sophomores in the Vermont State Legislature. We have, and it's their podcast. I'm just here. We have Zahn Eastis and Ian Goodnow. Hey, guys.
Howdy.
There we are. You too. Yeah, keeping things interesting.
The signature.
And
hi, Johnny.
Hi.
Hey, John.
I would just like to say that Stardust is our opening piece, composed by Clark Hubbard, performed by the Vanderbilt Percussion Group, recorded and produced by Continuous Motion Productions. That's a good one.
Yep. Wait, Zahn, can you just explain why it's not a song?
Yeah, he was very clear about
this. He was very clear before. Yeah, yeah. Before we got in this, he stormed in here. Okay. Like, do not call it a song.
Yeah, that's what I did. Actually, a piece is talks about a piece that's created. A song is usually more popular, more... you know, just more kind of, what would you say?
It's more words. There's more of an objective storytelling to a song, whereas a piece is more just a musical experience.
It's more abstract. You know, yeah, sure. A song has words. You sing a song. You don't play a song like that. You play a piece.
Well, I could argue with you all day about this. We're going to focus in. We've had a hiatus, a bit of a hiatus, and we're reeling it back in here. It's been a busy summer, a busy fall for everyone, I think, and that's why we've sort of been on a bit of a hiatus. But we have the legislative session coming right back up next month in January,
right up.
And so we're here to sort of talk about what that's going to look like moving forward. So I guess to start, like, you know, you're coming into this session as sophomores again. This is your second year. What feels different this time compared to last time?
You want to take it?
Sure. I'll just say a couple of things. The main thing for me, maybe for Ian too, is that when information comes toward us, which it's coming at us now, pretty heavy, I get it. I know what it's about. I know where to put it in my brain. I know who to talk to. I know who to ask questions of. I have a sense of where it might be going, in fact. And I would say the last year at this point, I knew none of that. Mm-hmm. So that feels very different.
Yeah, and I would even say, like, we're calling ourselves sophomores, but there's probably an argument to be made that we're still freshmen because we're in our first biennium.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
And so, like, there's a part of me that feels like I'm kind of stepping into the second half of my freshman experience. And so it is very different in the sense that we know the language a lot better, which I think is a huge part of it, and the pace. Mm-hmm. And that's the pace was like something, there's no sense for that at all in the first half of the biennium for me. Things were just sort of coming at you and you were just sort of taking them one at a time and not really knowing what's coming next.
So. Right. It's like even now when you just hear somebody talking about a bill, I already have a sense of whether it's even going to make it to the floor or not. Yeah. Just because I have the experience of watching, you know, last year we were introduced to 700 bills and the House only dealt with about 100. So it doesn't mean we won't deal with 100 more this year, but we're not going to deal with 700. And there are going to be more bills introduced this year. So it's, you know, we're doing that all over again.
And on the subject of introducing bills, I imagine since this is your second time around, you have that ability. Maybe you had that ability before, I don't know, but at least you know what it takes to introduce a bill, to collaborate maybe with other legislators on crafting that and introducing it. Is that something that either of you are prepared to do this next session, Ian?
Yeah, so Zahn's too afraid to talk about his bill.
No,
so.
I got a couple of ideas. Let's talk about it.
No, I'm just joking. I think you definitely could have done it in your brand new baby legislator.
You've been
around for like a week and you're like, I know exactly what we're going to do to fix Vermont. And you submit like a bill that's probably been submitted 100 times before in the legislature. So I have submitted a couple of things. There's a kind of a really interesting landlord tenant issue that I've kind of taken as a pet project from some of the low income housing community organizations in Brattleboro came to me, and I could probably spend the entire 30 minutes talking about that. But so that was one that I sort of learned from the last session how much legwork you have to do before the next session starts to be able to get a bill in a place that it's actually going to be able to be introduced and worked on. Yeah. It's not a like 1 week, 2 week thing. It's a multi-month, because there's a lot of people you need to talk to get something kind of drafted and redrafted. I think the bill language I'm looking at now is like gone through 5 drafts. So, wow. Yeah. So that, and then a couple other little pet projects and a couple like constituent requests. And then a couple of things that I don't know if you're seeing this from your committee, but there are some committee bills coming that are coming to judiciary that that I've been asked to sort of be the person to push it through.
Right.
So there's like a voting rights bill that I feel really passionate about that kind of came to me in that way, and I'll be the lead sponsor on that. And then so it'll be my responsibility to kind of help with getting the people there to testify about the bill and to hopefully see it move through the full process and become law.
That's quite a responsibility.
Yeah, it's a lot.
To be stewarding this whole, this baby of a bill that could become a law.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'm going to screw it up so bad.
That's exactly how I feel. I've been assigned one too.
Yeah.
In human services, same thing, coming out of the committee, and I'll be in charge of it. I don't even know yet exactly what it looks like. It's just being pulled together right now, so I'll see it, and then it'll be handed over and be my job to sort of take it from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to, Ian mentioned it. I'd just like to say that I too am forwarding a piece of legislation, and it's based on a constituent responses to various laws that are in place right now. Constituents reached out to me, and I discovered that there were other legislators in the state who had heard about the same issue. So I began a little bit of a talk and got a bill drafted to address the issue. It has to do with posting for hunting or not on your land, on private land.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty interesting process, and I wouldn't have known anything about how to even think about doing that last year. And now, having watched it and knowing that I can talk to the Legislative Council to help us push the thing through or get the drafts written, that I can speak with other legislators, that there are ways to find out who the other legislators are that are hearing this kind of talk and moving forward. It's pretty fascinating.
And Leg Council is like are the lawyers that that work for the legislature, and they one of the big things they do is they take all of the bill draft requests. So we have like a deadline that we have to submit requests for. And we can explain the difference. There's like what are called long form and short form bills.
Okay, I've heard that before.
What I've been talking about and what Zahn's been talking about are long form bills. So that's like where we're really working the legislative language and like taking wherever within statute you're trying to work within, you're basically sort of proposing what that language is going to look like. That's the long form bill. Short form bills like, I want to do this legislature, and it's just like sort of written out in plain English. And the idea is the committee can sort of take that on and then turn it into a long form bill.
So a short form bill is never going to remain as such if it moves forward. It's going to turn into form is just the goal.
Watch me say this correct and then like immediately be wrong because I don't know what I'm talking about. But my understanding is that you don't really move a short form bill. It's going to turn into a long form.
Yeah. Is there anything short, anything under like, 500 words that's ever passed through the whole, signed by the governor or whatever?
I think so.
So there are definitely parts of every year the Judiciary Committee has like a miscellaneous bill that has a bunch of like baby bills within it.
Sure.
And I proposed one that very quick story. It's kind of a fun experience for me from my like professional work as an attorney that like we made a lot of changes to the sealing and expungement laws in the legislature last session that was signed by the governor and became law. And there was a cross site from that legislative change language that changed to a totally different area of law around bail, like setting bail. And we didn't change that language. So I was standing in court and the judge was like, well, we can't really do the way the legislature has always intended this bail law to work because the statutory language has changed by the legislature last session and they never changed this language right here. So it doesn't work anymore. And I like noted it down.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, something to take up next year.
And then like emailed it. But it's like literally the change is like one word. So like that, like it's such a small, but it was a really great learning opportunity for me that like we spend all this time changing language, working within things, and there are tons of unforeseen consequences.
Unintended consequences. Yeah. And, that's and, a good, yeah.
And that, and I think part of the second session is mopping up all of the, because they're kind of inevitable. Like there's no way we would have remembered to change that other. It was in a totally different area of law. And so it's just, it's a learning experience for me. And it's something I've been thinking a lot about, like in proposing legislation that like we are standing on the shoulders of the last session and the session before that and the session before that. Mm. And there probably have been bills proposed that have considered every single one of the things that I've thought about already many times. And there's been discussions and they haven't become law for various reasons. And so I think like understanding that as part of the bill drafting process, that it's like, you're not like the most brilliant legislature who came up with this for the first time ever. This is part of a dialogue. Right. And I think that's part of doing it well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we spend time as a legislature going back and sort of cleaning up some of these unintended consequences. And some of them are very small and maybe noticed in a moment, and they're easy to fix. And some of them are really big deals. And so as we craft legislation, we're also trying to think about, imagine into a scenario where, as if the law were already passed, what might be an unintended consequence. And sometimes you just can't think of everything.
You just can't foresee everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You really can't, because there's so many different, unique, real world scenarios.
Right.
Like what the scenario Ian was put into, he couldn't have seen that coming until it happened.
Yeah. Right. And you have such little time with each bill during the session.
Yeah.
Right? Like to actually deep dive and be able to look at all of the different places where this could interact with another part of the law. You probably spend the whole session just doing that with
just
one bill.
Just doing one bill.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, that's a whole research project in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would take, you know, an entire team of, you know, some graduate department of you know, sociology to figure out an entire, you know, semester or two worth.
Don's going to figure it out.
I got the sense last year in Human Services that Ledge Council is actually doing just that sort of thing. They're making notes all year long, and then they bring those to the session, and then you craft it into a bill that's going to take care of these 27 things that we hadn't thought about or hadn't noticed.
And,
but it comes up in real life, just like what Ian was describing. Yeah.
So sort of going a little bit past that now, and also thinking about, you know, coming back to this a second time around. Now, you recently attended a financial forecasting session. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And this is your second one. You did this last year too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what does that look like just broadly? What does that mean? And then how did it feel sort of coming back at this with more seasoned eyes?
Well, so broadly, basically what we're there for is to get a report, an overview of what's happened in the last year as a way of forecasting for our own budgeting work coming up later in the session. So it's a way of looking at big picture issues. It's not just about Vermont, not just about certain parts of bills or whatever, but looking at national trends and situations like that. So if I didn't understand that last year, I sort of got the drift that, hey, this is a big picture last year. But this year, I really understood much more about how the national picture, especially this year, is affecting Vermont. And there are some really major trends that will make a difference to Vermont as we budget. One of those is the HR1, the federal bill for the federal budget bill, is having massive impacts in the state right now, and it will continue to do that. And we learned a lot about those on that day. But also, one thing that really fascinated me was this forecasting day is put on by the we call it JFO, the Joint Fiscal Office.
Right.
That's the financial folks that support the legislature.
Yeah, it's folks from the House, from the Senate, just from overall.
It's actually a staff.
We talked about that.
So we talked about that another time. But they present this day to give us a context. And the first speaker out is he's not part of the JFO team. He's a consultant that does financial analysis across many spectrums, but looking for, in this case, for the legislature to give us an idea. And one of the things that really startled me is that because of the way the federal government is working right now, was speaking to the fact that there are fewer and fewer reports coming from the federal government in order to be able to do the kind of forecasting that they've been doing for 50 years.
So they're losing data.
They're
like
just
crazy.
Data's not being presented. And so he said, we're moving into a period where we're starting to have to guess more. He said, we can guess intelligently, but he said, we'll be much better at guessing after the fact than we are at being able to predict beforehand. And that was pretty startling to hear. You know, this confidence that all this data has produced over the decades is now in 1 year, he was saying, I'm sorry, I can't speak to this. I can't speak to this. I can't speak with it. And he can, of course, but he couldn't speak with the confidence that he could have spoken about those same issues last year. So we're getting ready to walk into a budget session this next session. We're a budget season, and we have a lot of work to do based on what's coming from the federal government and how the policies are going to affect us. And we don't even have data to figure out what's going on about all that. So it's going to be very tricky.
And does that even extend to the amount of money that the state of Vermont will be getting from the feds?
Things we're learning, this is again broadly, but one of the things we're learning, there are instances there are cases, for instance, where monies have been withheld from all the states for certain kinds of programs. And when that money gets withheld, then there becomes a legal battle. Is this legal or illegal to do? And so then that just, the money stopped. It doesn't come in a certain program or whatever. And then ensues a legal battle. And that we just heard of one last week. Don't ask me which, I can't remember. But there's one legal battle that's been going on that got resolved. And in fact, monies that have been held from the states for the last several months now have to be repaid. So, but it's after 6 months of question and uncertainty and all that kind of thing. And the money does come, but it's not without a lot of cost, a lot of time, a lot of anguish on the part of organizations are being, and that's probably going to be the kind of situation we're going to be heading into in a number of ways going forward.
Sounds chaotic.
Yeah. I think that's a way to describe it. The analysts were definitely describing it as chaotic. Yeah. And they're nonpartisan. Yeah. This is not about, they're not taking a party line and trying to describe for their preferences what's going on. They're just describing how they can do their work or not.
And I think, not really partisan point, like as new legislators, this also feels pretty unprecedented for even like seasoned legislators. Like this is not the norm, and it's not usual in any way. And so I think there's a little bit of that feeling in the body as well, of just like, oh boy, like what are we going to expect this year? And that we kind of had that feeling last year some too, and I couldn't tell how much of that was just being new. And now I can definitely tell it's like, we are in uncharted territory a little bit.
On the day you look around at some of the seasoned people and they're sitting there like this, and they're just like this over and over, and you realize they're absorbing in the same, it's new to us, but they're absorbing with experience, and you realize, oh, this is pretty heavy.
It almost makes it worse.
How are we going to be able to do this?
But we will, right?
Well, that's what we're elected to do. Boy, if there's any,
there it goes. Yeah,
hey, no pressure.
I will say that one, this year has, if I didn't understand it, which I think I did understand at some level, but the level at which I understand that I'm there because of all Vermonters, I'm there to serve my constituents across the board. I'm not there to do my particular agenda or even a party's agenda. This is about, we have to get all these, there are a number of issues heading toward Vermont. They're here now, but we're starting to address them, and we really have to get them figured out for all of Vermont.
Yeah.
Because if we don't get it figured out, it seems like it's going to be pretty bad news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that even just extends to what we were talking about earlier with actually introducing bills now. And I was thinking about this when you were talking about it. Your role here is you're a facilitator. You're listening to the people and you know what they're, anguishes are as they relate to, you know, state inefficiencies or inequities or whatever. And, you know, you're trying to bring their concerns forward in a way that is also manageable and understandable by your colleagues.
Absolutely.
And then trying to get them on board with it from the perspective of these everyday people that I'm sure you're talking to.
And timed right.
And timed so right.
That's like, and I feel like that's half the battle. Knowing like when to push something and
Because it's so all very strategic. And I even know from like, you know, working with lobbyists for, you know, Vermont Access Network stuff of how like strategic and specific and like, no, don't say this thing at this time. Like, right. wait until this committee meeting ends for you to like, you know, push your thing or whatever. Yeah, like right, that's exactly. crazy to me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it makes me feel a little better hearing from like some veteran legislators about their own sort of like screw ups when they were new that they, you know, didn't know how to time things, didn't know to not introduce something. And they did anyways and that kind of thing. So that makes me feel a little better because I know it's inevitable. The screw ups. So, yeah.
And I mean, what are the repercussions there? Just, it doesn't get passed, right? Are there other repercussions of just sort of not going about a bill or timing things in the right way?
Well, I think it's all strategic.
You're looking right at Zahn in a certain way.
Well, it's all strategic. And that doesn't mean power, but it does mean that if you make a mistake and then make another mistake and then make another mistake, it's like, whoa, you've really changed your ability to make a difference going forward. And it's not that this thing may or may not happen. It's maybe nothing's going to happen if you're not careful, you know. And so it's just figuring all that kind of stuff out.
You're going to be playing that game. You know, you got to know how to play it to serve your people, right?
Yeah.
You aim to, for sure.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about just something that we had talked about on our last episode, which was this whole concept of education reform. And the education bill passed. And that what created some sort of a task force that would then be meeting and talking about what might be the solution for redistricting or, you know, reallocating resources toward our school districts. Do you guys have a sense of like where where that's at right now? You know, fast forwarding.
Fast forward, they met.
Great. Good job.
How many times?
Like they met eight times.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those meetings. They're recorded. They've been playing on local public access.
I would also say they met eight times, and I think they did a pretty darn good job of really connecting with Vermonters. Now, there are probably many Vermonters who feel like they weren't part of the process, and there were notices that certain parts of the population maybe were not effectively included, so there's still more work to do if we really want a statewide discussion about all of this. But I think that they met with, they heard from, talked with, surveyed from over 5,000 Vermonters.
Wow.
So that's a pretty strong, you know, pretty strong. And there are, apart from that task force doing that work, I get contacted by constituents about this, and I've been to a number of meetings about it. I just was at one last night.
So you kind of have to stay informed because how else are you going to tell your constituents what's going on?
And the language or the talking about this education bill is out there, not just among those 5,000 people. It's really among thousands and thousands. Yeah. There's more work to be done. There's no question.
And that's the I think Zahn and I were at a public caucus on Saturday for the Dems, like the legislative Dems. And we heard from members of the House legislative Democrats who were on the committee. You know, the takeaway beyond the amount of engagement and the amount of work that went into just this summer is that basically we have an immense amount of work to do this session built off of that. Like it's helpful what came from them, but like we're going to have to engage it and understand the material and do it in a, like it's going to be a lot of work. And that was it's like a 100-page report that I have read the summary of and, you know, need to read the full thing. And it came out.
Like, you read like the AI overview or whatever. <You're> like, yeah, this is good. I get it.
All right. Education. Good.
We need to devote a whole session to it probably sometime, but just to say quickly that the task that everybody thought they were going toward.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we were getting it. Yeah.
They didn't produce that particular outcome. They produced a very different outcome, a very different set of recommendations that are, from my point of view, completely workable. But we have to get in there and do the work. And I think that, to say it in a really simple fashion, the governor had hoped that we would be able to get all this work done, this education transformation work done in a couple of years. The House, as we were going toward it, thought we probably need about 5 years to do this. And we compromised, I think, on three. And I think what this task force has made us understand is it's going to be more than three.
That's part of the, I think that is kind of an inevitable part of a transformative piece of legislation like this, is that we're going to set timelines, deadlines, and goals, and they're going to have to adjust because there's like stuff we're learning as it goes that we didn't know when we were trying to set the deadlines initially.
So a bill passes that creates this task force to talk about, you know, redistricting or whatever our education districts, and then the task force meets and gives you recommendations, and then what happens next? What do you guys do the next legislative session? Are you introducing different sorts of bills to sort of support that work, or is this more research toward one big end bill or something?
Yes, all that.
All of it.
The thing is that the bill was, when it passed, it was designed to have more work, more action from the legislature. It was also designed to have more research. And so that will continue. That will go forward. What we're going to have to fold into it is how this new information plays into that. And that will be taken up by the education committee. So we'll be hearing from them. It will be taken up by the Ways and Means. Don't forget that when we talk, we all say the word education transformation. It's a bigger system than that. We're not only dealing with education transformation, which I think actually isn't so much our job, except making sure, supporting that our kids get the best education possible and they have good opportunities. But it's also how do we fund education? The taxation part of it. And I think that's what this task force work is bringing for me into very clear focus. Is this is about dealing with the way we fund education, and we really have to address that, because the December 1 letter that came out, that's a letter that comes out from the governor's administration every December 1st, anticipates what taxes might be over the next year, and they anticipated about 12% increase. Mm-hmm. Whew, that's a big number, and I think that it puts into very clear focus, we've got to start looking at this intently in the next while. And I think that for me, that's where I want to put my attention.
And do you think that that's the legislature's priority too, is talking about the sort of the financial implication of transforming education?
Yes.
I think
great.
I would say so. Definitely. Yeah. I could feel it in the room this last week when we were talking on both days.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I mean, it's been funded by property taxes for how long? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're looking at the bill already looks at the notion of property taxes and begins to twist things a little bit.
Yeah.
And now I think we're just going to be looking at that in a much more intense kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it means yet. And that'll come out of...
Tune into the next zip.
Yeah. Which we are intending to host these a little more often as we're moving into the next legislative session. Yeah, we do intend to not give you a 5-month hiatus, or as Ian says, 3 months or whatever.
More than a month. We'll get it right at it.
Yeah.
This will be important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To sort of close out the show, let's take our hats off for a minute, our legislative and our administrative hats, or whatever you want to call it. And let's just go around, and, you know, in traditional fashion, you guys don't know what I'm about to say. But what's going to get you through the winter? Is there a project? Is there a person? Is there a place? Is there an idea or something you're holding inside of your head that's going to get you through the winter? What are you guys thinking about? I mean, I'm thinking of me of like I have maybe a project or two that I'm excited to tackle in the winter that I couldn't necessarily, you know, I could do in the summer, but I'd rather be doing other things. Mm-hmm. So what is that for you guys?
What's your project, John?
Well, I'm working on like 3 records right now.
Fantastic.
And I'm making very good headway with a couple of them. And I've been tracking songs with a few different bands, and I've been, you know, putting other things on top of it and refining everything. And it's feeling really good. And I'm obsessing over it. I'm listening to these songs constantly on every speaker system I have access to.
Wow.
And so I'm excited to like get those out into the world, which I think I'm going to be able to do in the next couple of months or so.
Great.
At least some of them.
Great.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge.
Great. Yeah.
What about you guys?
What about you, Zahn?
What about you, Ian?
Well, I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Well, it's kind of a tough question, Johnny, because part of the experience of going into the session is that it sort of uproots you quite a bit.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so I have some like home projects, like trying to engineer all the different ways to make my chicken coop situation and chickens workable in the winter. Like the water freezes and how you know, like scratching feed and all these different things, which has been quite enjoyable. But I sort of have to abandon some of those projects as I go up to the session, and Ruth will have to deal with a lot of it. But yeah, I'm trying to think of for...
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's sort of what I'm thinking too. It's more like I've been through now a whole year of being in the legislature and then the time after that, before the next session, that's like a whole year. How do you live through, how do you manage your way through that? So now I have some information. I'm living in a new place from where a different house than I was a year ago. So that's a project for me. It's finally almost finished, I think. And that's going to, I think the thing that's going to, this place I'm living in is, I feel really good about it.
I helped Zahn move the furniture.
It's because of Ian that it feels so great. But it's a nice space for me. It's in my size. And I think I'm looking forward to being there. But it's also like, it's kind of exciting because now I'm going to do that same cycle I just got finished with. I'm going to do it again, and it's going to feel a little different. And so what's that like? So that's just even a thing. But
it's a little exciting. It's like, that's getting you through the winter. It's what is this going to look like with more knowledge going to the legislature and having a new home?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, Ian, it could be, you know, things, not necessarily a thing you have to take on, but a thing that's going to make you get through the winter and all of the chaos of the legislative session.
Yeah, for me, it's probably like, I think I'm going to invest before we go up to Montpelier in like really good thermal like running gear. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a runner and it's a thing that really helps center me. But what I learned from last year is that Montpelier is incredibly cold.
It's much colder than here.
Crazy cold there. So so I don't have, like, my Brattleboro stuff isn't sufficient. So I need so I think that's something I've been thinking a lot about, and I think is going to be something I focus on before the session starts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Good. Yeah. We got to keep you fit in the winter somehow when you're up there in the middle of the state.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Sitting on my butt all day.
For real. Yeah. Driving yourself crazy.
Yeah.
So thank you everyone for tuning into the Zip this time around. This is a podcast that will intend to appear every couple of weeks, maybe once a month or so, as we get into the next legislative session. I want to thank Zahn and Ian here, our reps for Wyndham 1 and Wyndham 9 for
sitting
for sitting down with me today and just chatting. I love chatting with you guys.
Yeah. And Johnny, as always, thank you so much for hosting us.
Yeah, thanks.
Of course.
It's really great. Yeah.
So you can enjoy this podcast on your platform of choice. We're on, you know, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Amazon, RSS, blah, 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 all that jazz. So many more. You can leave us a review on one of these platforms so we can be self-conscious about ourselves.
Oh, do we get any emails?
Well, am I really going to out us right now that we haven't gotten any emails?
Oh, no.
The only reason you get emails is because it's relevant at the moment. Yeah, somebody thinks of something. There's no way we would get
emails. We're not relevant.
Exactly. Not yet. But we do have an email address. It's thezahnianpodcast@gmail.com. thezahnianpodcast@gmail.com. You can shoot us an email and we may or may not address it if it makes our hosts uncomfortable. And if it makes them uncomfortable, I'm going to bring it up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Our opening piece was Stardust, composed by Clark Hubbard, performed by the... I can't get that out of my head. Yeah. Performed by the Vanderbilt Percussion Group, recorded and produced by Continuous Motion Productions. My name is Johnny Gifford. I'm with BCTV. I'm the producer of the show. And again, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time on The Zip.
Thank you.
Thank you.